Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
We got us a game tomorrow, y'all. We're sitting here watching this replay of this New England Patriots and this Philadelphia Eagles game, preseason game from last night. And we talked about it yesterday with Matthew Judon being traded out of New England to Atlanta, who appears to be wanting to be a contender with all the additions that they're making. It appears that the New England Patriots are in full teardown mode, boys. And I'm going to tell you, it is so refreshing right now to be a Houston Texans fan and be able to go over, cover the team at training camp, be able to go to a preseason game, hell, be able to go to a regular season game, and we don't see some journeyman quarterback that's been around the league for 14 years that's throwing interceptions in the red zone, and you don't see a quarterback that they drafted that's struggling and not ready to play, and everybody thinks he should be better, and the fan base is super frustrated. Apparently, that's what's going on in New England. I'm just going to tell you, as a Texans fan, I'm just thankful that those years are behind us and we're in a much better place. And we got a game on tomorrow at noon. And we got some things we need to look at, boys. There's some matchups because I think the starters are going to play again a good chunk of time here. And I call these key first quarter or first half, depending on how much they play. I think they're going to play more like a half, but we'll see. The key first quarter, first half matchups for tomorrow. Now, I don't know if all of these, Ron, I don't know if all of these matchups are going to bear fruit for us, if you will. I don't know if they're going to happen. I'll be honest with you, I'm not real sure what the list of no-goes, the injury list, if you will. I don't know what that looks like with the Giants right now. But I would imagine that this is a game for them, just like the Texans, where they've been prepping like a regular game week, and they're going to play some starters. And I got two on the offensive side of the football and two on the defensive side of the football for you, Ron. I'm going to tell me what you think about these.
All right, let's go.
As I've said multiple times, any conversation we have about this Texans offense right now in terms of who needs to show up and show out, who needs to prove anything, who's got to be better, and who can play well and it mean the most to this football team, it starts with Mr. Kenyon Green. Pride and joy of Atascocita, pride and joy of Texas A&M Aggies, former 15th overall pick a couple years back, and he has changed everything about himself, the player that he is, the professional that he is today, and he has had a hell of a, about a 10-month run here, Ron, of getting his body back right and he's played well in two preseason games. But this is one where there's a little bit different challenge ahead. When you look at Kenyon Green, at some point in time, there's a chance he's going to get locked up with Dexter Lawrence, big boy for the Giants, interior defensive tackle. That can absolutely cause problems. And I don't expect him to dominate. I don't expect him to move. I expect him to hold his own. It starts with Kenyon Green up front. And a little bit of Juice Scruggs there as well. But Kenyon Green holding his own this week for a quarter, for a half, however long he and Dexter Lawrence play. That would go a long way for me. It would prove a lot. I think it would take another... Hell, I'll be honest with you. It would take a huge step forward for Kenyon Green if he can just hold his own against a dude like Dexter Lawrence if they do indeed end up matching up inside.
Yeah, we've talked about it. He's passed from the jump every single test, whether they be small or very big tests, all of them combined to be big to get him to this spot. But he's passed every last one of them, from OTAs to mandatory minicamp, surviving all of it, not just surviving, but looking the part. We talked to D'Amico earlier this week. He said he's got his body right, and he's got his feet right. He looks the part, and he has played the part, passed all of them, looked the way he should look against the Bears backups, looked the way he should look against the Steelers. They struggled running the ball, but it's not like you can look at him. He was getting pushed. He was getting to the second level. But this is a whole different ballgame.
Different animal.
This is second team All-Pro last year in Dexter Lawrence. This is one of the guys who got paid in this league because he's good. This is a guy that's disruptive in the run game and a guy that will shove your ass back. And by the way, like a little secret at training camp, that's probably been the struggle a bit, is the bull rush for Kenyon Green. He will push you back into the quarterback. So this is one to watch. Because, Clint, there ain't nobody else who's starting at left guard if he's healthy week one against the Colts. That has been sewed up.
No doubt.
And they are going to play Grover, and they are going to play Buckner up front in the middle. Those are two of the best in the league, and Buckner is special. This is going to be the greatest test he'll see. This is different than going against Foley or Mario Edwards or Timmy Settle, whoever else they've going against. Nothing to those guys. Khalil Davis, this is a different animal. This is one of the best players in the sport on the defensive line, and we'll see if he's ready to pass this test.
Complete different animal, and I think that's the key. Just pass the test. You ain't got to ace it. You ain't got to dominate it. Just pass the test. And it's going to take a little bit of help from Juice Scruggs now.
And he's aced all the others.
Yes, he's been great. I mean, it's going to take a little bit from Juice Scruggs as well. There'll be some double teams there. There'll be some chips, some opportunities for him to help as well. And so Kenyon Green, the Kenyon Green Dexter Lawrence matchup tomorrow is going to be big. I think it'll tell us a lot about really where Kenyon Green is. The other one, I'm going to stay on the offensive line, Ron. Tytus Howard. We've seen Tytus Howard since he got here. We've seen him play right tackle a little bit, and we've seen him play right tackle in impressive fashion against T.J. Watt. We've also seen him play out of position at guard multiple times in his short career so far. They paid him big money. This year, he's going to play right tackle. He's going to play this week. And guess what? The Giants this offseason acquired Brian Burns. A couple years ago, hell, it may have been the same draft Kenyon Green came out in, to be honest with you. Maybe, maybe not. Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. Defensive end. Two speed rushers, if you will. Well, I don't need to see anything from Laremy Tunsil. I know exactly who Laremy Tunsil is and what we're going to get out of Laremy Tunsil. It's about Tytus Howard. And I don't think he proves anything that we haven't already seen from him. Like I said, we saw him play a really good game against T.J. Watt. But it's been a minute since we've seen him at right tackle. There's a little more pressure on these tackles right now because I think this is going to be an 11 personnel football team that's going to throw the football a lot, and it's going to depend heavily on these tackles being lockdown tackles. Not just good tackles, but lockdown tackles. So for me, the second key matchup this week is Tytus Howard on whatever defensive end they throw his way. Burns, Thibodeau, whoever it is, I need to see Tytus Howard get a couple of lockups. I need to see him snatch some folks up. I need to see him play the right tackle position at a top five paid right tackle in the game, Ron.
Because that's what they show paid him.
Come on.
That's what they paid him. No, and these are speed rushers. These are guys that can come off the edge. And Brian Burns, he said, hell, he said the other day, I ain't reached my ceiling yet. He seems to be super motivated. And listen, we talked about this a bit earlier. What I love is the first two spots where you're going is, when you look in these preseason games, you're looking at matchups that hopefully a team is potentially strong in areas that you at least have questions about. And then you can kind of see what that looks like and how potentially how big of a question it should be. And listen, I don't think the New York Giants are going anywhere. Right, I don't think that Brian Daboll may coach pass this year as the head coach of the New York Giants. But where they are strong is up front on the defensive line. And they create a lot of, let's say, could answer a lot of questions potentially going into the regular season with the guys they have. Like Laremy Tunsil has the pedigree. We know what the hell he can do.
That's right.
From over there. All right. But you're right, up front with Scruggs and Kenyon Green with that big fella in the middle, and then potentially matchups if there's a 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 like there was last week, can Titus Howard get out there and protect against speed rushers? Because Brian Burns last year as a guard, when he was a guard, he gave him hell coming off. Remember, he couldn't pull and hit Brian Burns. So we'll see what happens. But yes, they have a great group up front that can challenge what may be one of the biggest questions for the
I think this offensively will be a good challenge because of that defensive front you're talking about and really what the sweet spot of the Texans is going to be. I mean, I don't think it takes a guy like one of us that cover the team every day to know, hey, the Texans are going to drop back and they're going to live and die on C.J. Stroud and this three-headed monster they have at the wide receiver position or the five-headed monster that C.J. Stroud mentioned with the three top wideouts, Dalton Schultz and Joe Mixon. You don't have to cover the team every day to know that, right? This matchup in particular, I think, is going to challenge an offensive line that if this team is going to win football games this year, this offensive line is going to have to be really special as it pertains to protecting C.J. Stroud. This is a good defensive front that can rush the passer, both big inside, big and fast, and really, really good inside, as well as speed rushers outside. Can the offensive line as a whole hold up the way that it needs to hold up? Now, this is a category where it needs to be elite. This is a category where it needs to be elite, and it starts with the two defensive tackles. So whether we're talking about Kenyon Green inside versus Dexter Lawrence or we're talking about Titus Howard versus Burns or Thibodeau, either way it goes, it's a five-man game. And this week, the one thing you can bank on is they're going to bring a damn good pass rush, and the Texans' offensive
and they
line
don't have
is going
to they don't have to get create. They don't have to dial up blitzes anything.
No.
They can be their vanilla selves to get pressure.
That's right. They got guys that can put their hand in the dirt and go get it. We'll see if the Texans can protect the way that we think they can protect and the way that they're going to need to protect if they're going to win games this year. Throwing the football versus a schedule that's got a guy on the other side of the field that can match what C.J. Stroud can do. We'll see. Now let's flip to the other side of the football. Key first quarter, second half matchups in tomorrow's Texans-Giants game. Ron, we got to start just like on offense. We start with Kenyon Green. Anytime we're talking matchups, what we need to see, what's most important, what's going to change this team the most. On defense, we got to start with that young fella, Kamari Lassiter. Cornerback, second-round draft pick out of Georgia this year. Hadn't played in a preseason game yet. Was on the shelf for a few days last week, but he's back. He's working with the ones. And the Giants have a decent little receiving core that they're bringing to town, particularly on the outside, Ron. I don't know how much Malik Nabers is going to play, rookie out of LSU that was lights out last year for Jaden Daniels and LSU. And then Jalen Hyatt, a second-year receiver that was out of Tennessee that Hendon Hooker and him just absolutely torched the SEC 2 years ago. Jalen Hyatt. Those guys can run. Neighbors can do it all, but Hyatt can absolutely fly. At some point in time, I got to believe that Daniel Jones and Brian Daboll and that company, if they've learned anything, they've learned not to attack the best corner. I got to believe that they're gonna try to get matchups on Lassiter and see what Lassiter's all about early in this ballgame.
I hope they are. I hope that we get to see him pass not pass that test, but we get to see him get tested in a real game type scenario. He hadn't played yet in any of these games, and we've seen him in practice. But even in preseason, there's a bit of a different gear for guys that you've not played against, plays you've not seen, and keys that don't become normal like they do in training camp with certain receivers and certain formations that you notice. So I think it'll be big to see what Lassiter looks like on an NFL field in this type of game. Now, he's probably seen Malik Nabers before playing at LSU and in the SEC.
He's seen both these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember if Georgia was –
Georgia definitely probably played Tennessee.
No, I know they did, but I don't know if Hendon Hooker was healthy at the time. Did they catch him after? No, he played against Georgia, so I don't know what kind of luck he had. But nonetheless, Nabers and Hyatt, both of them, if they're both going to be on the field – I don't know that Lassiter's going to be able to hide from him. I got to believe that Daniel Jones is going to have enough sense to not come up and throw the ball to Stingley's. In fact, I know it's preseason, but if my ass was in a preseason and I was Daniel Jones, I'm not going to throw it towards Derek Stingley if I have an option. I'm going to go Lassiter's way. Staying on the defensive side of the football, staying with one of the cover defenders, Ron, my fourth key first quarter, first half matchup for tomorrow's Texan-Giants game, Jalen Petrie, we've talked about him playing nickel, and we know he can. We know he's got crazy instincts. We know he's a hell of a football player. We know he's smart. We know he's aggressive. We know all these things about him, but can he cover? And again, the Giants' offense, Wandell Robinson, an old Kentucky Wildcat. He can go now. Isaiah McKenzie, we've seen him around the league. He can go. Two guys that'll probably be in the slot with Jalen Petrie. We'll see if he can cover those guys as well. Those guys are a couple of cats that you can't touch in a phone booth. So we'll see if Petrie can cover them at that nickel slot defender position.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to see a lot of him in coverage last week.
Yep.
With the Steelers, hopefully we'll be able to see that this week.
Yeah, hopefully we will. I mean, that's the jury's out. Can he cover well enough? Because to your point, it doesn't have to be Deion Sanders. Hell, he doesn't. I mean, D'Amico will be player friendly with him, but he's got to have the ability to stay in the hip pocket of folks early on. He's got to be sticky in coverage. He can't just get shook out of his boots and let receivers create separation consistently. So my four key first quarter, first half matchups tomorrow. If you're a Texans fan and you're watching this game, Kenyon Green and Dexter Lawrence inside, Tytus Howard versus Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeaux on the outside. Kamari Lassiter on the defensive side of the football, corner versus the wide receivers for the Giants, Malik Nabers, rookie, and Jalen Hyatt a little bit more specifically, and then Jalen Petrie against Wandell Robinson and Isaiah McKenzie in the slot. Those kind of matchups, I don't know if we're going to see all of them. I got to believe we're going to see one or two of them, so we may not pull much from all four of these matchups, but if we just see a couple of them, Ron, I think we'll know a little bit more about our Texans.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what you want to learn before you get in, because this may be the last time they play before the regular season starts against the Colts. So this could be the only game that Lassiter plays in the preseason before, if D'Amico decides to sit all his starters in the fourth and final preseason game against the Rams.
Might be, probably will be. Yeah. By the way, we got. I didn't get to my weenus and flagina. Conversation. We got two more hours. We'll get there.
Coming up.
I can't wait.
I'm sure you can. We'll let you hear from Alex Bregman himself, as there is audio. He talks about the injury that has him out for the weekend and a move being made. We finally found out the move made to be able to get the young guy Whitcomb called up. We'll let you know who is leaving the Astros coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, as we talked about the young fella getting called up, as Tyler said, he is smashing, swinging the hell out that bat. They had to make room for Mr. Whitcomb, who is not going to be in the lineup today, by the way. Didn't immediately bring him in. They had to make room, and Elitmus Diaz has been released.
Boy, it didn't last long. I like you.
Had an end of the road twice for an Houston athlete?
This might be the first
one. This is the first one, I'm pretty sure.
This is history right here on The Drive.
twice.
Damn, AD.
I like him, man.
How many at bats did he get?
Too many.
I can't remember.
One was too many.
I was going to say, if the over under is 5.5, is it over or under?
I'd guess under.
Damn, man. He probably like, I didn't get a chance. I know he started as soon as he came back in. I just can't remember if he got any more at bats.
I don't recall either, man, but it's
they was like, man, we good. I have forgotten multiple times he was still over there.
Yeah, look, it's a tough day, man.
Yeah, I like four at bats.
I like Litmus.
Four at bats, is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, when you look the way he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have released him immediately.
Yeah.
He got four at bats, baby. Just got to stay in some nice hotels. But hope he ain't the good luck charm. But Litmus Diaz, he's up out of here. Somebody had to go. Some people were talking about Chaz. Oh, Chaz in the lineup, baby. Litmus Diaz, he was taking that Greg Kessinger role.
Yeah. I mean, that was the obvious, right? Shea Whitcomb. He's played a little first base, second base, third base, shortstop. 11 games in the outfield, mostly in left field. I believe that's his whole AAA minor league career there. Apparently, he had some strikeout problems early, Ron. He's gotten better there, significantly better there. He was number 14 prospect in the system. 25 homers, 908 OPS in 108 games with AAA Sugar Land this year.
Yeah, we'll see how long he's playing. That's the thing is, when you combine him and what is going on with, damn, Litmus, you can play in the infield too, Katie. Damn. Litmus Diaz, he plays all over the infield too. He does everything that kid does. She said, we got to get your ass up out of here. But when you combine that with the big news of the day, which is the Alex Bregman injury, you hope and wonder if it's not long-term. Now, Alex Bregman did speak on it himself. He talked about the elbow swelling, and listen to how he explains what happened.
I got some swelling in my throwing elbow, slept on it wrong. Feel like a few days and I'll be able to come back strong and feel good. Showed no, have no damage of any of the ligaments or anything like that. Just something that I'm going to have to take a few days for. And obviously it's pretty unfortunate because swinging the bat really well right now. I'm playing really well. So hopefully come back in a few days and be ready to roll. And yeah, this has no long-term effect or anything like that. It's just something I got to knock out right now and get back to playing.
Tough hotel. Slept on it wrong. MRI clean. But they're saying he is out for the weekend. He is out for these three games against the White Sox. Said it is clean. He was asked what happened. What happened to the elbow and why was there an issue?
When did it happen?
I'm not really sure. Slept on it. Woke up. Didn't really feel that great a few days ago. And just kind of played through it for a day. And yeah.
So he tried to play through it for a day. And couldn't do it. So he is he's going to be down for a bit. He says 3 days. Hopefully that is it. Hopefully he couldn't. It's not something that's even more long term. But damn, man, I mean, he must have really slept on that sucker wrong.
Yeah, he must have. I mean, look, if you got anything going on right now, this is the time in the month of August to get it worked on, get it fixed, get it worked out. Is when the White Sox are in town. Hate that it's coming in the middle of the hottest stretch he's ever had in baseball in terms of how well he's swinging the bat. But if you're gonna get it worked on, man, let's get it knocked out.
Yeah, yeah. He said it's not really when he does baseball activities; it's when he does other things. But I guess they're gonna get it right, hopefully. And he returns to the team. But very, as you said, very unfortunate because he was swinging the bat. I mean, he was swinging the hell out there.
Raking. Shout out to the text line, fellas. This is something that I didn't realize. I was curious if y'all did. Did y'all realize Chaz McCormick's batting average has dipped below 200?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Clint said 198?
190 something.
198.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man.
What the hell, Chad?
I mean, Abreu was down at around 130. He's gonna mess around and creep up on that. Hey, take you a peek at take you a peek at old Jake's batting average, Chief.
Might be time for Chaz to head to the Abreu League.
It's time for something because it don't look like it's turning anytime soon.
Why did you just have to take out Chaz? I bet Chaz is sitting there thinking, about Alex Bregman.
I looked down at the text line and said, hey, why don't y'all look at Chaz below 200 now? And I was like, I knew he'd been bad, but holy.
You were surprised when you saw that?
I mean, not like floored, but I didn't realize that's a benchmark, you know? I mean, I did not realize it had gone below 200.
The way it's been going for Chaz, if I look down there, 190 something. Yeah, feels about right.
I'm surprised it's not worse, to be honest with you.
The way he's playing, man, he's lucky he made that damn catch in October, you know, a little while back, because Astros fans are not pleased.
That's the biggest part with Chaz is, like, he is messing up in the field. Like, you can't swing the bat like that and then mess up in the field.
So bad. He had that throw home a week or two ago. Oh, yes. Dude, I promise I'm not exaggerating. Worst Major League Baseball player throw from the outfield I have ever seen.
I didn't see it.
And Jake looked over there and was like, damn.
He was offline by like a football field.
Jake looked over there and said, damn, 197 and then I'm safe.
Jake looked over there and said, like, listen, I may not have been able to throw that ball as far as you did, but I would have bounced it over there 8 times.
I mean, he missed it by a mile.
Yeah.
Oh. And then he's coming in lazy, catching pop-ups. Dudes are tagging up on him. Like,
what was that? What was that? Not Another Team movie. Mr. T said, damn, what was that?
Yeah.
So that is the latest there as well. By the way, JV looked good. And we'll have some more info on Justin Verlander, who looked good last night. 4 innings, 57 pitches, 1 earned, struck out 5 with no walks. So it looks like he is getting closer. But he did speak with the media today a little bit later on. We'll get the thoughts on that, by the way. Hey, coming up, there's a player that this would have been a big day for in the second half, although he's not going to play. I wonder, is this a situation where he may get Wally pipped? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I've been sitting here cracking up. I'm wondering, Tyler, what did you expect? Like, what number did you expect to see when you pulled up?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I'm thinking, like, in your head, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this too. In your mind, like, Tyler, what number, what batting average number in your mind were you thinking you were going to see when you looked down at Chaz's batting average?
Well, I guess I just really didn't think about it at all, like give it any thought.
I'm about to say, because you think it, like the way you look, like, I thought I might see 215, 210.
Yeah, maybe that area. Yeah, maybe the two teens.
When you saw the one lead off, it's like,
made me want to vomit.
I ain't going to lie, because when you think, all right, what you say right now, right, what's Chaz's average? I would have said, right, 205. That's what I've been thinking. Like, you said to me, like, I don't know Jake's right now, but you said to me, what's Jake's average right now? I would have said, like, 227, 225. I know he had gotten hot, he had been hanging on, but that's like where I would be. You said Bregman, I feel like Bregman's hitting 280. Even with his slow start, I don't think he's hit 280. But like, I wonder what he was looking down there thinking he was gonna see, because he saw that one.
Like I said, I'm surprised it's not lower.
His at bats may have the feel of a 163 hitter, but
it's not ideal.
I can't tell you the last time I've seen a hit. I saw him rip one the other day that I thought was a home run, but he got on top of a lot of top spin, and then the left fielder never moved. He ran him right in the glove. I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time I saw a hit. I may have seen just something that got between the third and short third baseman and shortstop or something, but nothing impressive. It's been a minute, man. It's painful to watch, no doubt.
He's in the lineup today, so
he's got 2 base hits in August.
Well, I guess it's not been that long. It's 16 days. He's not playing every day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
They've had some off days.
It's horrendous.
Just pitch in. All right, we know Davis Mills, right? They didn't announce that he's not going to play, though, right? But I would imagine he isn't after not practicing all week long and wanting to rest him with a rib issue. So he's not going to go. And it appears he is the number two quarterback. But I'm wondering, throwing this out, everything people have looked at and you've watched and seen, is there any way his job's in jeopardy? You think, I know you started the season thinking he may not make this team, but right now after seeing everything, obviously evidence, there's new evidence, after seeing everything, is this a potential situation where somebody with him not playing could go up and jump ahead of him?
No, I don't think it is. Look, they have not made Tim Boyle a priority at all. Case Keenum's got more reps than Tim, yeah. So it never was.
Surprised by that.
I thought it would be more of a competition. I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised as hell at how many reps Case Keenum has gotten in games and practices, to be completely honest with you. But no, I don't think his job's in jeopardy. But at the same time, Ron, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel any better about it. There's nothing that Davis Mills has done this year that
so
we
you
haven't.
You still don't feel great about him having to go into a regular season game?
No, I don't. I mean, I won't feel good about Davis great, Mills yeah. as the backup quarterback until I see D'Amico Ryans make that decision when the need arises, and I see him play well. Now, I mean, look, we've seen a guy, as I said before, big, strong kid, plenty of arm strength. Can make all the throws, technically, mechanically sound, high-level processor. Like, I've thrown all the different quarterback, sayings and analysis I can at Davis Mills. And all those things are still true, but it still boils down to getting in the huddle and those 10 guys believing that you're going to give them a chance to win ball games. It still boils down to getting in the game. And in the moment, with live bullets flying, it's chaotic as hell. There's going to be two or three plays every single game that you either make and the team wins, or you don't make and the team struggles and or loses. And Davis Mills, for the most part, has not made those plays. Now, I've said this before, Davis Mills has been dealt a piss-poor hand in terms of the dysfunction that was in this organization that he was tasked with quarterbacking through. But there's nothing that Davis Mills can physically do in training camp that's going to make me feel any different about the backup quarterback situation. I'm going to tell you, anybody out there that says they're really confident in the backup quarterback situation is lying through their teeth. There's no way, given what D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio decided last year.
No, yeah.
There's no way you can watch that you've watched training camp and you all of a sudden feel better about what Davis Mills brings to the table. There may be something behind closed doors, the information that we're not privy to that has changed significantly, and all of a sudden Davis Mills has this different vibe around him, and D'Amico and company feel like they now can win games with him. But we're not privy to that information. And there's been nothing that he's done that all of a sudden has put me in a position where it's like, yeah, this year they're going to decide to go with him over Case Keenum.
Yeah, it didn't. You're right. I thought Tim Boyle was probably the only one that had a real chance to take his job.
Yeah.
But clearly, this is almost like a Kenyon Green situation. Like, they clearly have him in that spot, They didn't bring Tim Boyle in to challenge him. It seems like they brought Tim Boyle in as just another camp body.
Yep. Tim Boyle will be a camp body. He'll probably be put on a practice squad, and if anything happens to any of the guys, he'll move up and be a third-string quarterback or an emergency quarterback is what my guess would be.
That's what it's looked like. And that's the part. Whether we feel confident about it, I don't think you can. I do. I wonder if they're pressed. Where are they? How do they feel? How confident does D'Amico right now feel about it? Because D'Amico can say all the stuff he wants to say. Like he said yesterday, we're happy with Davis, and that very well may be true. Last year, when it came down to it, you said, nah,
proof
doc,
is in the pudding.
Let's go with somebody else. So that is still the last space that we're in.
I feel like this, Ron. I feel like if there were a need for Davis Mills to play in the first month of the season, there is going to be really at any point in time in the season. Whenever C.J. Stroud, knock on wood, hope it doesn't happen, if C.J. Stroud goes down and they know he can't play, that evening there's going to be a round table with all the decision makers, and they're going to decide what they're going to do at the quarterback position. It is not a typical, like you would like to think, given that you are a team that is a Super Bowl caliber team, the way you built this roster, you would like to think that, no, man, we got our backup. It's lock, stock, and barrel. This is a dude that we feel like can go out there and win games for us. I don't believe that anything has happened that all of a sudden, miraculously, they feel that way. Because clearly they felt strongly the other direction 6 months ago, 8 months ago, however long ago that was.
Text line coming through. I think Mills' job is just like y'all feel about Mechie. Mills just doesn't have it. Don't make excuses for him, Clint. Mills wasn't good in college.
Man, nothing I said was making excuses for anybody. In fact, I just told you I'm done. I'm done ultimately making all of the quarterback excuses and using the catchphrases and leaning on the mechanics, and I can't do it anymore. I've seen enough. I've until he gets in the game and in critical moments makes those plays, then I can't feel or think any different than Davis Mills.
But I will say it is like the Mechie situation. Like, they have him in a role. I mean, he's absolutely more secure than Mechie, but they have him in a spot where you're like, all right, that looks like a guy that's going to hold on to that spot. Looks like Mechie seems like a top six receiver on this team by the way they play him. And it looks like Davis going to be the backup guy. I don't think Tim Boyle can come in and go off and potentially take his job. Hey, by the way, it's we're going to the third preseason game, fellas. How y'all feel about the new kickoff? We hadn't really talked about it. We saw it in person at the Hall of Fame game, Clint, and then we watched it yesterday. Tomorrow we'll see it live in NRG for the first time. But what's the feeling right now about this kickoff?
Well, I think out of the gate, I love the change.
You love it?
Yeah, I think it's a good change. I can ultimately, Ron, watch kickoff and kickoff return, and I can understand where the league might want to tinker with things. Word of the week, by the way. Tinker with things to find a safer way. I mean, that running 60 yards and colliding with somebody that's waiting on you and then just absorbing the hit time and time and time again. And if somebody misses a block, getting a 60-yard running start to crush a ball carrier. Like, I don't like all the change, but I can understand why, from a safety perspective, they want to tinker with things and figure out what works best. So I can understand that. And while it's not working out the way that I thought it was, I thought the return team was going to have a huge advantage. But it's turned out that the kickoff team has the bigger advantage. The return team is there. All these guys around the league are really struggling with retreating and then setting your feet and blocking when the kickoff team's starting 10 yards from you. They're on top of you before you can turn and set your feet and actually execute a block. So guys are getting ran by, and the returner's right there on top of them. People are getting clean blows on the returners. So I don't know that they're accomplishing being safer. I don't know that they've...
There are a lot more being returned.
Yes, they're definitely being returned. Now, the season, we may see them just kick it out of the back of the end zone and give it to them at 30. But I don't know. Jury's still out for me of whether this is the right decision. I'm cool with the change and the tinkering. I thought it would be advantage kickoff return. It's clearly not. I'm anxious to see how the league reacts during the regular season. Both, like I said, do people just kick it out of the end zone and give it to them on the 30? Or do teams find a way to scheme up and block different so that you're not retreating and then you know, trying to set your feet and getting ran by? I am anxious to see the adjustments that are made. But I'm here for the change. I'm entertained.
This isn't like, for me, when they immediately changed the extra point rule and they moved that back, that was immediate where I'm like, oh, this is going to add to the game. It was immediate. I liked that. This one... You know, in the back of your mind, knowing they've taken really the surprise element of an onside kick away, which was one of the best moments in the Super Bowl with Sean Payton and the Saints, they've taken that element out. And just looking at it and watching it, like you said, I don't feel like these guys are safer. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm still not completely, ooh, I love it. I love what's happening. It is, yep. It's still a little hokey for me to get used to. So I don't know. I don't know that I'm in love yet, but it's certainly going to be here to stay. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire, we'll get you caught up with all the Astros news, from Alex Bregman to Justin Verlander to Luis Garcia to the new call-up and Elipmus Diaz, who is gone, as well as getting you ready for this Texans preseason game. All of that coming up next on 5 o'clock fire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.